Hello? You are welcome to Living Seed. We are very grateful to God for encouraging your heart to stay tuned on Living Seed. He will certainly also encourage you with grace and power to keep the devil where he belongs, perpetually under your feet. On this edition of Living Seed, the message on guidepost to the end-time believer continues as we stayed studying on the first book of John. Several guideposts have been pointed to of the Lord to your own life in this series of studies in the first book of John. If you agree to be guided by them on the way to heaven, you will certainly make it very, very soundly and safe. Don't be careless. Invite others to join you even on the series that we shall start next week. Write in to share your experiences on how you have been guided much closer to heaven as you listen to us on this series. Our address is Living Seed, P.O. Box 971, Boko, Benue State, Nigeria. Living Seed, P.O. Box 971, Boko, Benue State, Nigeria. We invite our Bible teacher to bring us the conclusion notes on the guidepost on the end to the end time believer, Brother Igbile Akani.
Shall we pray together? Lord, we thank you for the way you led us and the way you have been leading us. Thank you for bringing us to this point where we could draw conclusions on the issues that you have raised with us in our studies in the book of 1 John. Our Father, we just pray that as you tie issues together today, let it mix with faith in our hearts. Even those who just meet us at the tail end of this series, we ask, Lord, that you will also guide their lives. Thank you for hearing us. We believe you that greater things than all that we have known before will you yet lead each one of your children to. Thank you, Father, for hearing us, for we have prayed together in Jesus' name. Amen. We thank God that we have had this series of discussions on the first epistle of John. And today we are going to be drawing final conclusions in the issues that God has raised with us. We are going to read the last few verses of that chapter, and of chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 18, verse 19, verse 20, and verse 21. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one touches him not. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lies in wickedness. We know that the Son of God is come, and has given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. Now, having studied right from chapter 1 of this epistle up to this point, it was appropriate to repeat again and again several issues that God has taught us. But I see the way the Holy Spirit is concluding this epistle with the series of several things that we know and several things that we ought to know. And all I'm going to be focusing on in order to round up this series are these issues that must not slip by you, must not slip off your hand. They must be on your fingertips as you go on. Your knowledge of these things must remain renewed, refocused, and sharp at every point. Now, that scripture says in verse 18, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. What a wonderful conclusion. We know. We know that whosoever is born of God does not make a practice of sin. We know that those who have become part of God's family do not make a practice of sinning. For God's Son holds them securely, and the evil one cannot get his hands on them. Now, I want to draw your attention to this. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. Now, so as you go on in this pilgrimage, the question of living above sin is what you need to keep knowing. That no man who is born of God continues to sin. Do you know the reason? We said that sin is a transgression. Sin is a jumping of the fence. And when a man goes into sin, it's like you have deliberately handed over yourself for the prince of this world to control and to govern. And you can imagine the devil has been looking to devour your life, seeking every possible means to tear you apart. If he gets a little opportunity, he will do it very, very mercilessly. Now today, in conclusion, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. That's the first thing. And I want to say that as you go on, this cannot change. The issue of living above sin is the only way by which you can be known to be a child of God. Any message, any messenger that does not help you to live an overcoming life where sin is concerned, even if it tells you about how much money you can make, how much progress you can make in life, and he's not dealing with the question of sin in your heart, you should know that that man is not guiding you to heaven at all. Whosoever is born of God sinneth not. But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one touches him not. Look at this. There is a need to watch over your life so that that wicked one, the devil, does not touch you. If you look at Jesus Christ, he said the prince of this world cometh, but he has nothing in me. Now, will you also be able to declare that yes, the prince of this world can make many rounds of inspection, looking for how to make an inroad into my life, but there is nothing. There's no handle that the enemy can handle to handle your life. But when you give a chance of sin, it's like you have extended an handle. And you are said to the devil, anytime you want to handle me, handle this handle. Sin is an handle you give to the devil in order to destroy your life. So the Bible says, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one touches him not. Which means if you keep yourself in the love of God, if you keep yourself within the will of God, if you let the word of God rule your heart, you can even walk in this world, and all the calamities will be happening left and right of you. It can never come near you. Say thousands will fall by your left hand side, and tens of thousands by your right. It shall not come near you. Look at what Psalm 91 says. And on this note, Psalm 91. Let's quickly check Psalm 91. I know you are very familiar with it, but there's need for you to note some of the keywords there. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty God. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wing shall thou trust. His truth shall be your shield and your buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil before you, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Now that's it. When a man, a child of God, lives within the word of God, when you live within the will of God, when you make sure that the question of sin, you don't touch sin, you keep yourself from every contamination, you are entitled to all this. You don't even need to worry your head. You don't even need to bother yourself what is happening out there. It cannot come near you. Because where you dwell is in the secret place of the Most High. Your life is hid in Christ in God, under the shadow of the Almighty. The Lord becomes your fortress, he becomes your refuge. Under his feathers and under his wings shall thou trust. God's own truth shall become your shield and your buckler. Can you imagine that? He will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and even from the noisome pestilence. You don't need to be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day. They can fly anywhere, but it can't touch you because you are in a divine cavity. You are in a divine stronghold. You are in a castle where the enemy can never come. Even though the end time will be very turbulent, the end time is going to be serious. Terrible things will be happening left and right. But there is a place of security where God is putting you as a believer. The only thing that can take you out of that is the matter of sin. So the Bible says, he that is begotten of God keepeth himself. Keepeth himself, and that wicked one touches him not. So brother, as you go on, if you will keep within the circumference of the word of God, if you will live above sin, if you will run away from every appearance of evil, I am sure that when we get to heaven, we will find you there, victoriously overcoming. You will join all other overcomers with a song of joy that yes, you've made it. But if you dabble outside there, like you remember the daughter of Jacob, the only daughter that Jacob had, what was her name, you remember, called Dinah. Dinah said, let me go out and even see the daughters of the land. She had been under the confines of her father's security. She has dwelt under the shadow of her father for years. But the day she decided to go out, to go and see the daughters of the land, you see the prince of that land, the principality governing the land, just caught her immediately and defied her. And that was the end of her own destiny. You can never read about Dinah again beyond that single chapter, chapter 34 of Genesis. Dear friend, if you will dwell within the word of God, if you will keep yourself away from sin, I want to assure you, even if the devil multiplies his strategies 1,000 times over, he cannot touch you. You will only see the reward of the wicked with your eyes. It will never come near your dwelling. No plague shall befall you. No evil shall come near your dwelling. God will keep will give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. If you will dwell, if you will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Now, but verse 19 gives you a very, very sharp contrast. We know that we are of God. We know that we belong to God. We know that we are inside God. We also know that the whole world lies under the power of the evil one. I'll read that for you from Revised Standard. We know that we are of God, and the whole world is in the power of the evil one. I wish you can see what I'm dealing with now. Once you are not in God, you are going to be under the power of the devil. So, the whole world outside God is under the control of Satan. The whole world outside Jesus Christ is under the control of the evil one. Look, New English Bible says, we know that we are of God's family, while the whole godless world lies in the power of the evil one. And New International Version says, if you have it, we know that we are children of God and that the whole world is under the control of the evil one. You see, it's only as a man runs into Jesus and dwells and abides in Jesus that he escapes the control of the evil one. Once you are outside, you enter into a new territory, the territory of Satan. So we know that the whole world, politicians, government officials, great educationists, professors, engineers, whatsoever they are, who is not in Christ Jesus is under the control of the evil one. The evil one teleguides everything you see in the world. He's the one behind all the fightings, all the war, all the struggles, all the bombings that is going on, all the wanton destruction. When you see people drinking blood of fellow human beings, you wonder who is doing this? The enemy. You go through cities, you go through lands. It has become empty today because of the spirit of violence, the spirit of greed, the spirit of power drunkenness. People want to control one another. But when you are in Christ Jesus, you are not under the power of the evil one. Now, dear friends, the world system, I say, is not going to improve. The economy of the world is going to continue to grow more and more turbulent. And peace will continue to remain a scarce commodity in the world system, even as the end time is coming in. But those that dwell in Christ Jesus, they are not under the control of the evil one. It will be happening out there, but not inside here. I just want to say to you, as we leave you here, the great guidepost you must note in your heart is that you must learn to abide in Christ. Abide in his love, abide in his word, abide in his commandment. All the various things we have dealt with in the epistles of 1 John, we began by dwelling in fellowship with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. And we said for you to dwell in light with him, there must be no darkness in your life. We also dealt with the fact of dwelling in love. Love with the brethren. Because anybody who does not love the brethren, he abides in death. It's like he has moved away from the territory of Jesus into the territory of the evil one. As you look at this book altogether, you see a clear demarcation. A demarcation between that which is of Jesus, that which is of God, and that which is of the devil. And we can see this the dividing line. We are praying that as you go on, God will help you to keep within the boundary of the Lord Jesus. God will help you to walk within the love of God, within the light of his will, within the light of his word. Now, that scripture now says, verse 20, and we know. You see, I'm praying that each of these things that John concluded with, that we know, God will help you also to know. Number one, he said, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, and that he that is begotten of God keeps himself, and that wicked one touches him not. Number two, we know that we are of God. We know that we are of God's family, and that the wicked one, the whole world, lies under the power of the evil one. Verse 20, we know that the Son of God has come, and he has given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. You wonder why that emphasis in verse 20. You need to know that the Son of the living God has come. You need to know that he has given us an understanding. You also need to know, you know him that is true, and that we are actually in him that is true, even in his Son Jesus Christ. Now I pray that you will have that deep assurance in your heart, that you know that actually the path you are taking is the only right path. If you are a child of God today, I want to assure you and I want to congratulate you that you are in the right course. We know that the Son of God has come. Some people are still wondering. They are saying they are expecting when he will come. When he will come and save them. But we know that he has come. We know that the word that he has spoken, they are the same authentic word that bring eternal life to anybody who believes. We know that what he did on the cross of Calvary was actually what needed to be done. Nothing is to be added, nothing is to be subtracted from it. It is sufficient for our salvation now and forever. We also know that he has brought us to know him that is true, and that actually we are in him that is true, even in his Son Jesus Christ. And this is the true God, and this is eternal life. We know that. You don't need to exchange that for anything. You don't need to consider any other thing, any other idea. I want you to be established, and I pray that God will help you to be firmly rooted and deeply grounded on the path of life that God has shown to us. And as we are looking for his second coming, as we are looking for his appearing to come and take us away from here, as we are looking for his appearing, but the Bible said he is coming again. Let's read that from the book of Hebrews, I suppose chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9, and let's see what the Bible says in verse 28. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. We know that that has happened. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. We know that. We know that he is coming again. He's coming to take us away from here. But he is coming only for those that are looking for him now. Those of us that are waiting for him to take us off here and to clothe upon us our real clothing, our real inheritance, when corruption shall be swallowed up with that which is incorruption. We know that. Now, but finally, John now conclude, and I pray that God will help you to see this. Verse 21, little children, keep yourselves from idols. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. What is the word of God saying here now? That in conclusion, little children, keep yourselves from idols. Keep yourself from anything that seek to take your affection. Anything that seek to take your focus from the Lord. Anything that tries to take your heart away from the will of God. What would these idols be? Whereas in time past, idols were only limited unto woods, unto carvings that our people put on ground and they bow their hearts to. But I want to say to you today that idols is anything that is uppermost in your heart. And that thing is not the Lord Jesus Christ. Your business can become your idol. Your fashion can become your idol. Properties can become your idol. Jewelries have become idols in several lives. In several lives. Makeups have become the idols of several people. Idols can even be your very self. Your ego, your career, your family name is something you worship. Something you cannot tolerate if anybody will touch it. Now, little children, keep yourselves from idols. You know why the Holy Spirit is bringing this? One of the things the devil will do in the end time to lure people away into perdition is idols. Idols. Now, there are several of you sitting and listening to this message that even football has become an idol to your life. Football. If Jesus Christ were to come on the day that they are playing football, it would be unfortunate that several of you may not go to heaven. Because you will rather cancel church service in order to watch football. You could see thousands, hundreds of thousands of people running, traveling, just to go and watch a football game. The devil in the end time is devising several objects of pleasure rather than that takes the heart of men away from the worship of the living God. Those of you that are very sensitive in the spirit, you will see these things that the devil keep doing. You will see the advent of the technological advancement in the area of the satellite dish that enables you to just click your remote control and you can watch all kind of channels all over the world. And what are the things in this channel? You'll find that the world system is never devising these channels to preach Jesus. Whether they are making advertisement, whether they are reading news, you see them interjecting it here and there with the things of the world, the idea of sin, the idea of sex. You remember that when we were in chapter 2 of this epistle, it says, love not the world, nor the things that are in the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, they are not of God. The things that the devil is parading in the world system that could become idols to your life, they are not of God. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Idol is anything that becomes addictive to your life. And one thing I know about the world system is that everything the world introduces, it has an addictive power. It has power of addiction. If to say you can just watch your television once and go away and it will not affect you, it will not have been a matter. But the devil so arranges each of these things that once you touch it, you become addicted to it. It becomes something, an object of desire, an object of worship in your hand. Things that you are running after, things that you are looking for, things that take the whole of your heart. Money has become idols in several lives today. People can kill others because they want to make money. Unfortunately, even preachers. Preachers are becoming idol worshippers because of money. Several people are planting their works, starting their ministry, not because they want souls to be saved, but because they need money. And I will ask you, if truly that your ministry is for souls to be saved, I wonder why you are crowding in the city. There are 3 churches on your street. Why are you there? When there are so many villages where nobody has been told about Jesus Christ, you need to check your motive, whether you are not worshipping an idol called Mammon. Some are moving from this country, they are moving abroad, they are looking for pound, they are looking for dollars, they are looking for Dutch marks. Just because of money, I want to put it across to you. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Now you will notice that scripture ended with Amen. What is the need of placing Amen there? Amen means so be it. I wish you also can agree with us today to say Amen to everything God has said to us in this series. I wish you can also sign it with your life and say, Lord, so be it. Everything you have said to me in the course of this study, so be it. I will live by your word. I will act on your word. I will stand by your truth. So be it. Can you also say Amen to every issue that God has raised in this study? Can you say Amen to every instruction that God has given you? Can you say Amen to every correction that God has brought to your life? Can you say Amen to every aspect of issues that the Holy Spirit has raised here? Can you say Amen? And say, Lord, I say Amen to that. I will cause my life to watch and to hold this guidepost even as I wait for your appearing. May God bless you. May the Lord watch over your life. If you miss everything, don't miss heaven. When we get over there, we will look for you. I trust that your place will not be vacant in the name of Jesus Christ.
Father, we thank you for your caring love, that you do not want us to stray anywhere. Thank you for gathering your people and instructing them so decisively, Lord, on the way to heaven. We want to pray that, Lord, as you have lifted up this signpost, fix our eyes onto them and let nobody turn away in carelessness. Thank you that you will do this, for we have prayed in Jesus' name. Amen. Will you make it to heaven? Then don't be deceived. You must know freedom from the practice of sin. There is somewhere to keep yourself from sin and the devil, and it is within the circumference of God's word. So where are you straying to right now? Run back, oh sinner. Run into Jesus. Run back, brother. Run back and drop the sin habit that you've been practicing and abide in Christ. Oh, let's see in heaven. Amen. Our address is Living Seed, P.O. Box 971, Boko, Benue State, Nigeria. Living Seed, P.O. Box 971, Boko, Benue State, Nigeria. God bless you.